Hebrews chapter 12. And this is one of those scriptures. This is a dream passage for most pastors. And the reason why is pastors are in love with alliteration. You know what alliteration is? When every single point starts with the same letter. I mean, Psalm 119 is a huge alliteration. It is all starting with the same letter. It's a love poem about God's words. The reason that pastors love alliteration is it's memorable. It helps people remember when all the points start with the same letter. And so this particular passage is just written for preaching. It is a preacher's paradise. It is a perfect pair. It is purity and peace. It is preceded with a command to pursue. And who are we to pursue? We are to pursue all people. And that's about all the alliteration you're going to get out of me today. So let's look at this passage. It is from Hebrews 12 and verse 14. Pursue peace with all people and purity without which no one will see the Lord, looking carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness rise up or spring up, causing trouble, by which many become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears. And so we are commanded here to actively pursue peace with all people and to pursue purity. Now, keep in mind that when the Lord gives you a command, he also gives you the enablement. A lot of people get this wrong. They read the Bible and then they think, okay, now I got to do this. And it's like, okay, yes, you have to because it's a command of God. But at the same time, if you don't realize that this command is followed up with the Holy Spirit empowers you to do what God commands, you're just going to be discouraged and you're going to become legalistic. And what's going to happen is you're going to work really hard on one part of your faith. And you might do really good at the pursuing peace with all people part, but then you're totally messing up in the purity department. And you don't know how to pursue purity because you're just trying to pursue peace, and so you throw out purity. Or you go the other direction, and you're just this holier than thou, I'm better than everyone, and you're judgmental, and you look at everybody wrongly because you're just pursuing purity, but you don't know how to pursue peace with all people. I tell you, you cannot do this alone. This requires some intense Holy Spirit power in your life to pursue peace with all people and purity without which no one will see the Lord. That's a big command followed up with a big consequence. And so we want to look what that means for us today, to pursue peace with all people and to pursue purity. Now, peace is the joining together of that which has been divided or separated. And regarding purity, nobody grows in purity without doing something actively to go in that direction. It just doesn't happen. It's like your garden at home. You cannot grow a garden without seeing weeds come up alongside of it. It just happens. You have to cultivate the garden. You have to work hard at it. Weeds will come up on their own. We see that in our lives as well, that impurity will come up all by itself because of our nature, because of the consequences of the things that we're dealing with all around us. We're always going to see the weeds come up. Therefore, we have to cultivate, and therefore pursuing purity is an active thing. So both of these, pursuing peace and pursuing purity, require us to go full on following God and seeking for him to help you in this. Now, you have to understand, too, that this command isn't just pursuing peace with your Christian brother and sisters. I mean, that's hard enough. But this is telling you to pursue peace with all people. It's telling you to pursue peace with those people who are totally opposed to God and who are harassing you and persecuting you. There's another P for our alliteration. The persecutors are those who we are to pursue peace with. And so that is a difficult thing that is being challenged for the Hebrew Christians, for these Christians who were being persecuted for their faith, who were being told that their faith wasn't a real faith, who were being marginalized, kicked out of the synagogues, made fun of, being kicked out of their family events. You know, imagine your family just telling you, calling you up before, you know, for them it'd be Hanukkah, but before Christmas, and just saying, hey, yeah, you're not welcome here this year because of that Christian thing. You're just not, we don't want you around anymore. You guys are weird. We just can't take you people. So unless you leave that call, we don't want anything to do with you. And so the command is pursue peace with those people who are giving you a hard time, the people who want nothing to do with you, that you are to reach out to them and love them and show peace to them. And at the same time, not to compromise and to show purity and to live out purity in your life as well. So here we see here that it is a pursuit. And that is something that we need to keep in mind, that we are to pursue peace with all people in as much as is possible. That's what it says in Romans, because sometimes it's not possible. It's like the hunter who goes out this fall. We got a couple hunters here. Any hunters? Not many of you. I know a few hunters. And when they go out hunting and I ask them afterwards, did you get a buck? And they say, no, didn't get anything this year. Well, guess what they do again next year? They'll go out again because they are pursuing their hunters, and therefore they'll continue to pursue, not necessarily always getting the buck, but always pursuing the buck. And this is what's being challenged to us. But instead of getting a 12-point buck, what we're going to get is we're going to get peace with those that are maybe persecuting us, people who are opposed to God. And in the long run, we may lead a person to Jesus Christ in the process. And so the reward is so much greater. Therefore, just because you might not always attain peace, we are still to pursue peace with all people. Now, the peace that's talked about here isn't the peace of God or the peace of God that's given to us or given to us in the sense that we are given peace with God through Jesus Christ. We aren't to pursue that. We aren't to try to always try to have peace with God. That was given to you the moment you put your faith in Jesus Christ. Rather, this is the peace that's said that we are to pursue. It is a fruit of the Spirit of God. It is a work of the Spirit of God. This sometimes, you know, in Christian language, people get confused because they see peace and they're like, well, no, God's given me his peace. But you have to understand that this is a peace now that you are to pursue, and it is the peace that is with other people. And I love too how these two go together, peace and purity, because the peace is your relationship this way with believers, unbelievers, relationship with your neighbors, with your friends, with your family. And then purity is in regard to your relationship with God, because without purity, nobody will see the Lord. And so really it comes right down to why we exist as a church, and that is to love God and to love people. And I tell you, these things are a challenge, because sometimes the pursuit of loving people and pursuing peace with people is at contrast with purity. And then so what we have to say at that point is that peace is not attainable in that situation. We're still to pursue it, but we're to do it in a way that continues to pursue purity in our lives. Purity has to come first. You cannot pursue peace at all costs. There's some Christians that do that. They will compromise all over the place. They will let things slide, let things go, and just keep the peace. They'll just turn a blind eye, pretend things aren't happening, and, you know, just kind of, you know, just we just want to keep things together. We want to keep everybody happy. Well, the Word of God says that we are to pursue purity as well. Sometimes it's difficult. And that's where you need wisdom. You need the wisdom of God. You need the Spirit of God to guide you and direct you. And sometimes you need the Spirit of God just to encourage you, because in your pursuing of peace and purity, sometimes the outcome is just, it's just awful. It's difficult. It's to the glory of God, but it's hard on us, because we, especially for you peace lovers that just hate to see conflict. And yet it's like, okay, you know what? If I pursue purity in this situation, if I do what is right, I know that it's not going to lead to that person having right relationship with me, and there's going to cause conflict. Jesus, he said he comes to bring the sword. And sometimes there's going to come conflict because there's kingdoms that they're butting heads. They're opposed to each other. The kingdom of God is opposed to the kingdom of darkness. And therefore, it is a challenge. Now, the author of Hebrews here is quoting as well from Deuteronomy 29, verses 16 to 18, particularly verse 18. When he talks about this root of bitterness, he tells us that we are to look carefully lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. What that means is people who are pursuing a relationship with God and then they fall short of it because they get discouraged. They're persecuted. They just kind of lose their way. The seed gets choked out by the weeds of life, by other pursuits. And we're to look around and look for those people and help them back up and say, hey, we're running this race. We're working together. And it says that lest there be any root of bitterness springing up, causing trouble, and by this many become defiled. Now, some of you, when you hear this, you right away think, oh, a root of bitterness, that has something to do with like a bitter heart because of an offense and all this kind of stuff. Well, that may be part of it, but what the author's doing here is actually quoting from the Old Testament, and this is what he's quoting from. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 16. You know, he says, how we lived in the land of Egypt and how we came up through the midst of the nations through which you passed, and you have seen their detestable things, their idols of wood and stone and silver and gold, which were among them. So he's warning them, saying, hey, we passed by all this garbage. We saw their idols. And you know, these idols that they created were celebrating sensual things. They were celebrating things that were lustful attractions. And therefore God says they were detestable, but they oftentimes were made in beautiful imagery. And they were made out of precious metals and beautiful art, and they could be attractive and they could be tempting because they cause your flesh to be pulled in. And what he's saying here is, beware lest there be any man or woman or clan or tribe whose heart is turning away from the Lord our God to go and serve those other gods and those other nations. And then listen to this, beware lest there be among you a root bearing poisonous and bitter fruit. So that's what he's talking about there. He's saying there's one God. The world has all kinds of gods. They have the god of sex. They have the god of porneia, the god of attraction, the god of the belly. They have the god of wealth and money and power and all these attractive gods that pull on our flesh. And they're all a twisting of the beauty and the truth and the awesomeness of who our God is and the twisting of God's scripture. And what Moses was telling the people of Israel and what God is telling us today through Hebrews is, don't look around at all those other attractions and get pulled in different directions. Don't let that root of bitterness spring up, because what happens, he says that what happens is many of you become defiled. Now it's important to remember that our salvation is free. And so when it tells us to pursue peace and purity, when it tells us to pursue holiness and purity, it's not telling us that we have to try to pursue getting right with God. When you put your faith in God, you are right with God. You are a child of God. You are a son and daughter of God. And so what happens is, the moment you put your faith in Him, you begin now a journey in which that reality that God has placed on you, that you are His son or His daughter, is now going to be worked out in the every day. That's why Paul tells us, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, that we are to now pursue purity, without which no one will see the Lord. In other words, a life in pursuit of God, if you don't have a pursuit of God, you're not His, you're not His child. And so a life that is growing in purity is a life that belongs to God. And so peace and purity go together. You know, Jesus also had these words combined together in the Sermon on the Mount. We looked at this 2 years ago when we said that blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And listen to the next line. Blessed are they peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. And so here we have it again. The pure in heart, they shall see God. Without purity, no one will see God. And then once again, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Jesus didn't say, blessed are the peace lovers. You know, we all love peace. I've told you the story before about how I had a really bad Sunday at Sweets 1 week, just stressful. It was one of those Sundays where the kids were acting up. We got them loaded up in the car. They were screaming, fighting, sweating, screaming at the top of their lungs, trying to get out of their car seats. You ever have kids like that? Just miserable. And so we're driving down, it wasn't UCAS, don't glare at me. We're driving down the road and I was so stressed out that my foot was getting heavier and heavier on the gas pedal. And I just wanted to get home. I wanted to get out of that screaming car. I had such a headache. I was so tired. I was just like, I am done with this day. And so I got going about 110 and I passed a cop. He's like got his nose poking out and I passed him and I said, he's going to stop us, Ange. I said, you know what? If he stops us, I'm going to just get out of the car and say, you can have him. Take me to jail. I just want some peace and quiet. Like, seriously, just keep them all. Like, just take them kids and just give me some peace and quiet today. It was a rough day. I was a peace lover that day. I wanted some peace. That's not what Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about being a peacemaker. We're all peace lovers. We all hate conflict. But are we peacemakers? And what does it take to be a peacemaker? You see, a peacemaker is a person who pursues peace with all people. He is a person, a man or a woman who they have a plan, but not only do they have a plan, but they plan the work and then they work the plan. They have a plan to make peace. You know, it says in Proverbs 12:20, deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but those who plan peace have joy. They plan it. They work on it. They pursue it. They chase after it. They look for opportunities. How can I make peace with all people? You know, this is one thing that, you know, I felt years ago that it was a challenge that I don't want people in this world, people that I've had conflict with in the past, I don't want to just have them as people that just, you know, where it's awkward, they'll just never talk to me. And so I made the initiative at some point to reach out, because as a pastor, I don't know why I tick people off. I try my best not to, but this is the peace with purity part. It's sometimes you say things and people take it wrong. Or sometimes I'm just selfish and sometimes I'm angry, or sometimes I do things and I'm just human and people expect me to be superhuman because I'm a pastor, and I just tick people off and I want to make it right. So I get on the phone and I call people or meet with people, and God has been good to me so far. There's a very, very small list of people that so far, you know, don't want to talk to me at this present time. I was almost down to zero before COVID. Seriously, I was almost down to zero. Actually, no, I was at zero before COVID. COVID was rough. And so now there's a few people. I got to get back on the phone. I got to meet with some people because I think that it is worth pursuing peace with all people. I'm not going to compromise the truth of what God has shown me in His scripture, but I think it's important that we pursue peace with all people and have a plan to do so. It's not okay just to say, you know, hey, I just don't think it's worth it to chase after people and to at least know that if you see that person in public, you can say hi and say, it is good to see you, and to have that relationship with them. You know, James says, though, that you can't compromise purity in it all. He says the wisdom that is from above is first pure and then peaceable. The wisdom that is from above is first pure and then it's peaceable. That's James 3:17. James goes on to explain that there is a relationship, a connection here with not having purity in your life that causes conflict. He says to the church, he says, where do wars and fights come from among you? He says, does it not come from desires for pleasure that war in your members? It's James chapter 4. That's where those wars and fights come. And so you see the two naturally go hand in hand together. What happens is we get that envy. You know, I forget who calls it. I think Spurgeon calls it some poet calls it the green-eyed monster. The envy is just this thing that just causes us to want something that we don't have and desire it. And it causes conflict. It causes wars and fights. Whereas our pursuit of purity leads us to peace. Someone's going to have to wash this microphone afterwards. All these peace is working its work on the microphone. The more, I'm the only one that uses it anyways, the more that you pursue purity, the more peace that you will have. You see, it's a family trait. God is the God of peace. Jesus Christ is called the Prince of Peace in Isaiah 9:6. Ephesians 2:14 says, He Himself is our peace, who has made both one, has broken down the middle wall of separation. And how did the Holy Spirit descend upon Jesus? As a dove. As a sign of peace. And so we see over and over again that this is a family inheritance. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. The children of God are to be peacemakers, pursuers of peace, and pursuers of purity. Martin Lloyd-Jones says that if God would have stood up for His rights and dignity upon His person, every single one of us would have been consigned to an eternity in hell. One of the ways in which we pursue peace is to lay down our rights. You know, some of you have had that thought of, why should I pursue peace with that person? They're the ones that did this to me. I'm not in the wrong. It's them. They're the ones that you know, they have to come to me. You ever done that? They want to have a talk with me. They can come to me. They talk to me, you know, because they're in the wrong. But we are to be the ones who pursue peace with all people. We are the ones who are to lay down our rights. And you're like, well, doesn't that mean they'll walk all over us? And then we look at Jesus and we look at what it says in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of man and being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself even to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Jesus is the one that took up the towel. Jesus is the one who washed his disciples' feet when they were all arguing over, well, who's going to wash our feet? Where's the servant? You know, was one of us lowly enough to do that? And then Jesus goes and takes off his outer garment and dresses like a servant, takes up a cloth and starts washing his disciples' feet. And he tells them to do likewise. So before you stand up for your rights, consider that God's laid down his rights. And remember that God has always moved towards conflict, not away from it. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He moved to us while we were still in the wrong, didn't he? Not when we had it all together, but while we were still in the wrong, Jesus moved towards us. And so we all have to admit that we avoid conflict. We have to admit that we oftentimes say, like Jeremiah 6:14, the people say, peace, peace, but they have no peace. And finally, we have to guard our tongues. James 1:19, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. This is a tricky one. You know, many people don't understand this. A lot of people pride themselves in the fact that they say exactly what they're thinking. And they say, you know, you remember the old word perfect acronym, or I forget what it's called, what you see is what you get. You know, I mean, people know what they get with me because I just say exactly what I, you know, want to say. And it's in, it just, you know, at least people know. But the truth is that it's not nice. It's not what God wants for us. Imagine if God was to deal with all your faults all at once. It would be like he would just come back up on you like with a dump truck and just dump right on your head. And you wouldn't be able to take it all. God is a God of love and mercy, and he's full of grace and truth. And so he's patient with us. He's in it for the long haul. He is working with us, and we need to be so with others. And that means at times we got to hold our tongues. We got to watch our mouths. We have to be careful with our words. We need to be ready that this is going to be a long journey. He closes with talking about Esau. And this is the example he gives us. He says, don't let anybody be like Esau. He's a fornicator. He was promiscuous. He was a sexual deviant. I don't know exactly where they got that from. Maybe because of the wives that he took from the Gentile nations, or there's some more extra biblical information that was inspired here by the Holy Spirit. I don't know exactly what it means, but it shows us an important lesson, and that is purity is important. Sexual purity is important in God's eyes. You might have a bad track record in the past, but today is the day where you decide to be pure and to serve God in a way in which you can honor him with your sexuality. And not only that, but he was a profane person who sold his birthright, the things of God. He gave up the things of God for what? For a morsel of food, for a bowl of soup, a little bit of soup. He came home, he was hungry, and he saw his birthright as nothing. And he gave it up and said, I'm so hungry. He said, what good is my birthright to me? Jacob's like, oh yeah, I'll trade that for your birthright. Here's some stew for you. And he sat back and just laughed as his brother gave him something that was so precious because he had a stomach that was hungry for a bowl of soup. And he never recovered from that. The rest of his life was a life of just kind of pursuing the flesh and living for the flesh. And even when he wanted to change later on, he didn't really want to change. His flesh was still hungry, and he only wanted to change because he desired for more earthly things. That's the only reason he really wanted the blessing. And so God tells us, don't be like Esau. Instead, let us, as the people of God, pursue peace with all people and holiness or purity, without which no one will see the Lord. And so this is God's word for us today.